Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
McKinney is the Carlin Highsmith Chair for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and Director of the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at the Quinnipiac University School of Business. And he
well,
is
good
our,
morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Frederick. And I've got a very special guest for you this morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fred.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
They know each other. They know each other.
And that's what we call him, Dr. Fred.
She is going to actually, she is going to be doing the interview. She's a guest of mine this morning. I've known her for years, and she's already told me a lot about you. So go ahead. You're on.
Now we got to talk afterwards.
Yes, we got to talk afterwards. Dr. Fred McKinney, welcome to the Brad Davis Show, the talk of Connecticut. You are the chair of the Carlton Highsmith Innovation and Entrepreneurship and director of the Center of Innovation for Entrepreneurship at Quinnipiac University School of Business. And you wrote an interesting op-ed piece that came out in the Hartford Business Journal as Amazon curbed New York, as they say in the community, and decided to pull out of that deal. And you had some definite views about this situation and that Connecticut shouldn't try to follow suit. Talk to us.
Well, I'm a big believer in letting market forces work, and also I'm also a big believer in fairness and equity. And I think this deal failed on both of those counts. First, on the equity piece, I mean, this is a, forget about the deal, but this is a company that made $11 billion in profits last year and paid zero federal taxes. It's owned by the richest man in the world, and he's asking the state of New York for $3 billion in concessions of one form or another. I just think that it's patently unfair. And I also think on the basis of efficiency, it's a bad deal. And in my op-ed, I said, if you're going to spend $3 billion, you have choices. Mm-hmm. And one choice would be, let's say you had a $3 billion fund that could fund, you know, thousands of vetted, well-thought-out entrepreneurial projects. I mean, you could attract a huge amount of talent to the state by saying, hey, the state is open for a massive shark tank, and we're not just giving money away. We want to see business plans. We want to see viability. We want to see experience. And we want the private sector to invest with the state on these deals. Well, I would take my chances every day betting on, say, 15 to 20,000 entrepreneurs against Amazon.
Yeah, I think that what you said definitely pointed to the fact that it gives the opportunity to drive small businesses for them to grow, and then maybe create some potentially new Amazons down the in the future, which I know you've been for decades a proponent of this type of action. You had an interesting line in your piece. You said, "If you have to pay for it, it ain't love."
That's right. You know that. And I mean,
repeat that again.
You saw that with the other deals that have that we've experienced. I mean, companies, you know, and I'm not faulting them. They're doing what's in the best interest of their shareholders. But if you look at the Foxconn deal in Wisconsin, you know, they got $4 billion in concessions from mm-hmm. the state of Wisconsin and the federal government. And before they even broke ground, they were looking to get out.
Yeah, and we saw what happened in Fairfield County with GE too, in terms of their departure. And
exactly.
And so we have a situation right now that Connecticut and at least four other states are trying to court Amazon to come here. So what do you say to Governor Ned Lamont?
I say, don't do it. Just say no.
Okay.
I think that, again, there's a much better use of those funds. And, you know, you're looking for the long-term economic health and viability of the state. And in pursuit of that, you know, there are some things that that the state can do that make Connecticut a much more naturally attractive state for businesses. I mean, we already have an asset that I think is highly underutilized in the state is our simply our location. You know, we are between two of the largest economic regional powerhouses in the world, between New York and Boston, and we don't leverage that asset. And so we need a better transportation system in this state to take full advantage of our locational assets, and we need a recommitment to the things that attract young, talented professionals, which are high-quality schools, great transportation, high levels of cultural activities, diversity, openness, transparency, all of those things that drive essentially the Californian economy. Those aren't just, you know, it's not just palm trees and beaches. They have developed an ecosystem that is encouraging to entrepreneurs all over the world.
Frederick, I know there are those that are wondering, why is it, and you have a tremendous reputation, why is it that you are so much against Amazon, New York City, but it's Amazon in general? What is it about them that you don't like?
Well, Brad, let me tell you, I actually, you know, I don't want to sound like our president, but I really, really like Amazon. I wake up in the morning to Alexa. I order probably way too much stuff from the comfort of my home, my bedroom, on Amazon. I think that they are a phenomenal company. I think that they are a great American success story. I think that they should be lauded for their success and their innovation and their entrepreneurship. But I don't think that they are deserving of the free drinks at the public trough. So I don't have anything against Amazon. Their leadership, their strategy, their innovation, their products, their services, they have created a new reality, and particularly in retail. And so anytime you have, as an economist, anytime you have sort of massive technological change, it has consequences for those that essentially lived on the old technology. They get replaced. The horse and buggy got replaced by the car. And, you know, you're seeing now a transition even in the car. So this is sort of the, I don't want to call it a natural technological change, but there are clear benefits to Amazon, and I recognize those benefits. But I don't think that these states, I don't think any state should be in the business of competing against other states to attract these types of mega businesses to their states. It becomes a race to the bottom.
Dr. Fred, I have one more question. Connecticut's been criticized for large businesses running away from Connecticut and leaving. And so the promise Governor Lamont made of attracting big business to come back to bring jobs. Okay, how would we attract an Amazon? Let's say Amazon called him up and said, we're interested in coming. What could be done that would make it proper? As opposed to the political egotism that's counterproductive that you reference in your piece.
Right. I think that the things that we should be promising Amazon or any large company are safe cities, great schools, world-class transportation, a thriving intellectual community where you have culture and ideas, and young people want to be here. So those are the things that really are in the realm of the public sector. We should be doing that. And, of course, we should invite them here to come and take a look at the beauties of Connecticut. But, you know, they also have other things on that go into their decision process. Is there an available high-quality labor force? So that speaks again to the public sector, because that's related to our schools. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have strong schools to have a strong labor force. That's where the public sector can really be the driving force to attract these large corporations.
You know, Frederick, I tell you, you hit it out of the ballpark. You really did, and I'm glad that my friend Yvonne was here. She's sharing my program with me today and tomorrow. She's on the road all the time, but I didn't know that she knew you. And,
oh, yeah. I was a member of his council, the New England Minority Supplier Development Council.
I know.
I was on his board. And, you know,
Yvonne is one of those gems of Connecticut that we're not leveraging fully.
Well, we thank you, Fred, for being with us this morning, really. And great to have you on the radio, and God bless.
God bless you at any time, and thank you for having me on.
You bet.
Thank you.
He really is.
Yeah,
and you've
great.
Known him.
He's brilliant. He's a brilliant man.